Well, we're going to do just a review. And so we're going to call on Enid to do the first one of the review of chapter 18.
Since I wasn't here.
Oh, you weren't here? Oh, then you don't have to do it. Lynn, you can do the first one. What is meant when we read about an apostate church? Apostate. Remember, we talked about that?
Yes.
They've left the faith? Or?
Yeah.
Wayward, that mean just a wayward church? Mm-hmm. Is that with false or?
Mm-hmm. False teaching. Apostate church is one that really leaves the faith, leaves the God of the scriptures and goes somewhere else and teaches other things that are not true. False doctrine. So if someone say you're an apostate, it's not a good thing to be called an apostate, because it just means then that you are a heretic or a false teacher, or you are someone who has just an unbeliever, and you've left the faith. You just don't even do it anymore.
But you've had to have faith?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. All right, number two. Chapter 18 is about Babylon the Great. That becomes a world magnet to both blank and blank. What do you suppose goes in those blanks? Babylon the Great.
Harlots and whores.
That's who Babylon is.
Politics and
commerce.
Religion.
Yeah. Go along with commerce. Be economy.
Economy.
Politics and economy or commerce. It becomes a real magnet. It becomes a real financial, political place. And
Doesn't that sound creepily like the U.S.?
Creepily, yes. It doesn't, we don't know, but what we've covered so far in Revelation, you know, we don't really see anywhere where the U.S. is even on the scene. And of course, a little over a year ago, we thought, well, the U.S. is always going to be a major player, something. But we can see how messed up our country can get really quick. And it sure has happened here lately. But we don't know what happens to this side of the hemisphere. Maybe this side's destroyed because a third of the world gets taken care of for this or for that in a judgment. Does the United States need to be judged? You know, and it's like, yeah, there's plenty enough going on in our country where judgment is justified. Now, the good news is that we will not be here. Because why?
Rapture.
The rapture. Does everybody believe in the rapture?
Yeah.
We do. You'll find other people that do not believe in it, or they'll say that it doesn't happen in the beginning, vice versa. But I just say we can agree to disagree, but I like the pre-trib rapture myself.
After our study last week, and then that horror happened in Texas.
Yeah.
It's just so many things correlated in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, these are signs.
Yep. So you thought of global warming. Texas snow, freezing rain.
Yeah. Who'd have thought?
Out of power for millions.
Yeah. My son hired a wrecker. He was in east of Dallas. He hired a wrecker and a truck to come and take his car out of the parking lot at the Holiday Inn there. They have a resort there. And take him to a road because the resort had no scooping equipment. He couldn't get his car out of the parking lot.
Oh, wow.
And took his car on a truck. I don't know if they rode in the truck or in the car, but Tim and Dar went with and put him down on a road. Mm-hmm. And then they drove 3 hours at 25 miles an hour and got out of Texas, got up into Oklahoma. And that wasn't good, but it was better.
Yeah. Yeah, the big thing was finding an open gas station for people. Because there was gas stations were out without power. They couldn't pump gas.
Oh, wow.
Rick Porter, I was talking to him yesterday, listening to him yesterday, as they were down to Texas to be with his brother and his sister, thinking it would be a good way to get out of the cold.
Yeah, that's what Tim thought.
Here in Iowa. And here they go, like, here they are without power. But they could go to Padre Island. On the east side of Padre Island, they had power. Yeah. And so they could go over there and get something to eat. But on the west side, they were without power.
That's weird.
And then he's going, like, well, they had made reservations to stay in a hotel. When they got to the hotel, they see that the hotel is blackout. They still got to stay there without any power.
Well, that's what Tim was doing. He said they had no hot water.
Yeah, and so he said they couldn't use the elevator, so they had to go up the steps. Diane's got COVID, not COVID,
COPD.
There you go, COPD, whatever. She's got breathing issues.
Well, then Charles Schumer says, I hope the people of Texas have learned a lesson. Now,
I'm sorry.
They can't control the weather, can they?
No.
And all the windmills froze up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they,
so they must
learn
have
how to turn their water off,
because ours don't seem to freeze, do they?
They didn't insulate.
There's no insulation down there.
They have no insulation. Mm-hmm. Up here, yeah. We do.
See, we got basements. They don't even have basements.
No, but
the windmills.
Apparently, they don't insulate.
They make power. Ours aren't insulated.
And they froze up.
Okay.
Because there's no wind.
Well, they just broke
up. And it froze up.
You said something about Texas, and they'll learn or something. That's what I got her to laugh. Well, Texans aren't going to learn.
Well, I
need to learn to shut their water off. Mm-hmm. Oh, those pipes.
Yeah.
And drain and turn the faucet on
the
drain.
And wasn't their fault,
you know.
Yeah. But I don't know. Of course, they have an electric bill, $17,000.
Yes. They turn the water off.
How do they get that?
Or Black Hills Energy, they said it's going to be really high.
Is that right, too?
To get wholesale.
That's what we have.
To be tech, yeah, bills when they, like,
we got our bill, but it wasn't really too much higher.
And then when it's high,
this is a side thing, but why are the flags at half-mast?
What's that?
Why are the flags
for
flying?
For the people that died of COVID, I think.
Yeah.
Five days? Oh, okay. I just was curious.
They got COVID. A million people.
Okay, let's get back to our study today. Because I know the people who are listening to this are going to go, like, what are they talking about?
Just babbling. This is babbling.
We're in a babbling brook mode here. A babbling brook. Number three, Babylon the Great is seen as a very dark and blank place.
Maybe immoral or?
Moral would fit.
Evil. Wicked.
Yep. Wicked, evil. Any one of those will work. It is looked upon as not a place where you really want to hang out or to be living or to be, because we do find out last week, remember, it was saying, like, come out. The word was to come out of there. Come out of Babylon the Great, which means there must be believers there, or the opportunity was there, if anyone was a believer, come on out, because destruction was going to come upon the city very, very quickly. Which we go to number four. The great city of Babylon will be destroyed in blank. It was like 1 hour, it says. 1 hour. And Babylon the Great's fate is complete blank.
Devastation.
Destruction. Yeah. Devastation, destruction. It is completely judged and destroyed. And you have many people who did business there, from a distance saw the smoke, and they were very sad. And many of them cried because they know that it's no more. What was once there, what they were part of, is not there anymore, and therefore their whole livelihoods are gone, probably too, with what took place there. So we do know that. Go ahead.
But that's all of the Babylon the Great, then, that is not where the Antichrist is, then. Mm-hmm. He is elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we know that Babylon the Great is really, it's got a double identity. It's a woman, also it's a city. So it's a, like a physical place. We're not sure where that's at. And that's kind of the mystery that we find here is, you know, some think it will be the real Babylon that's going to be rebuilt. But I just don't see where you find a lot of shipping commerce going on in where Babylon is located at today in Iraq. It's in Iraq. So it's got to be a place where there's a lot of ports, shipping, and, well, as trucking and airfare. So I'm going like, you know, some think it's Rome. That's where the Pope is at. Italy, you know, and so I mean, there's a lot of seaports around Italy, but you look at America, it's really America who is got a lot of coastline. There's a lot of commerce. You know, we talked about the falling of the World Trade Center back in 2001. That was hit, and that really had a lot to do with the financial part of trade in the world too. But we're
is
still
Babylon
here.
Is Babylon the Great also called Mystery Babylon?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so that kind of takes care of chapter 18. We move into chapter 19. And here we find that the Apostle John is in heaven. So we start off this chapter in heaven, and he describes to us that he hears something in heaven like the roar of a great multitude. And what were they shouting?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! What does that mean in our terms?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah means what? It's another way we can say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Remember the PTL club?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah Club, be the same thing. Praise the Lord. And they were shouting about in verses 1 and 3, the hallelujah is about what?
Salvation and glory and power belong to our God.
Well, that's goes along with the hallelujahs, but there's something specific that they are praising God for.
An event.
Condemned. Revenged.
Like salvation.
It would be the it's the destruction of Babylon the Great. Mm-hmm. They are rejoicing that finally Babylon the Great gets or got what it has coming to it in God's judgment. So that's that happens in heaven. You know, that's a heavenly scene there. And then we go down to the fourth verse of Revelation 19. It says, who fell down and worshiped God? The blank elders and the blank living creatures.
24
elders. We really don't know exactly who the 24 elders are. There were 12 tribes in Israel. And then you have 12 disciples that Jesus had. In the New Testament, 12 and 12 is 24, but we're not real sure who the 24 are. How many living creatures are there?
Four.
Yeah, there was four. And they're kind of an interesting description of those guys there, too. Creatures, whatever they are. I got A says amen. What does amen mean?
Let it be.
All this is true?
It's so be it.
Yeah.
So be it. Amen means so be it. Hallelujah, I told you what that means. Yep, praise the Lord. Just thought I'd throw in that amen just so you kind of know. There is a meaning for it. Been getting a little pushback from some of my confirmation class that go like, well, how about a woman?
Oh. I'm going, are they being serious or are they just being facetious?
I think they're trying to get a little rise out of me, but I go like,
really?
But I go like, amen means so be it.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with gender.
Yeah.
Okay. You know? Somebody
in Congress, yeah.
Yeah.
That guy guy was given a prayer.
Yeah.
So, oh, amen and amen.
A woman.
Yeah, it's just like, how so dumb can you get to be?
How sacrilegious.
Right, yeah.
I think so.
And he, I don't know, that just makes me shake my head. But, you know, he'll have to answer to that someday as well if he doesn't repent. Number three, verse 5, the voice from the throne spoke to his servants both blank and blank. The servants are what?
Great and small.
Yeah, they're small and great. You know, it's kind of like it covers everybody. It doesn't really... In heaven, there is no big difference if you're small or if you're a great. It comes down to who you are. It's for everyone. And it doesn't matter. There's not a status quo that plays a part there like we see here on earth. Mm-hmm. You even find that in a chicken coop. If you go on a farmer's place that's got chickens, there is a pecking order.
That's true.
You know? So you'll find out who's got the most feathers is probably the dominant one. The ones that got a lot of feathers missing, they get terrified. All right, 7 and 8. What event is spoken of here in Revelation 19? Looking for an event.
Wedding of the Lamb.
There you go, yeah. The wedding of the Lamb. So if there's a wedding, then that must mean there is a bride. And the bride of the Lamb, we know, is what?
The church.
It's the church is his bride. And we see that in the book of Ephesians, talking about a picture of the bride of the church. And so here we got the wedding of the Lamb. A wedding is always what kind of an event? How would you describe it? Happy. Yeah.
Happy.
Rejoicing. It's a good place to be. And then John does something kind of interesting here. What he sees, he's kind of overcome by probably everything he sees and hears, that he bows down and he wants to worship who?
The angel.
It's the angel that's showing him these things. Mm-hmm. And what does the angel say to John?
Don't do that.
He goes, what are you doing? Get up. And what does he say?
Do not do it.
Worship God.
He says,
worship God.
Yeah, worship God only. You know, you got to take your hat off to the angel that he continued to tell him the truth. It's like, get up, man.
Yeah.
Worship God only. Because that just goes to show you that angels are not to be worshipped. Mm-hmm. Only God. And so it even comes down to in our area, sometimes there are saints, people or saints that are called whatever they are, and they are to be worshipped, that we find in a denomination that's not too far from here. And I don't know how many saints there are, but I think there's over 100 different saints. Would you know anything about that?
Ross? I knew every day. I think there was a saint recently, whatever they do, appoint them as a official saint, mm-hmm. maybe in the last 5 or 10 years, yeah. The one that hadn't been done in a very, very long time.
Yeah, and there has to be like at least 3 miracles associated with that.
Documented.
Yep, with that person to become a saint, then to be worshipped. Yeah. So, I mean, we're not to worship saints. It's just that plain and clear in Scripture. We're to worship God alone.
Well, they say they don't worship them, they just pray to them.
Yeah, they just pray to
well,
them.
Well, it's like when you're a kid and you're naughty and you got to go tell your dad you did it. It's nice to have your sister go with you.
That's true. Yeah.
That's what I always think of the saints, the Catholic saints that
Oh.
They don't really worship the saint, but they kind of like to have...
saint of protection and the saint of... Okay.
Yeah. All right, number 6, verse 11. What color is the horse, and what names are the rider called?
There's a white horse.
Called
Faithful and True.
Yeah, and he's got Faithful and True. That is what he is to be called. So are there horses in heaven?
Must be.
Yeah. Has to be. There's horses. If there's horses, there's got to be fish.
Right? I don't know.
But, you know, it's just kind of amazing when you think of, there's horses riding. And of course, we'll see a lot more of them at the end of this chapter.
Are dogs ever mentioned in the Bible?
Oh.
Just the dogs that ate Jezebel.
Well, the Jews call the Gentiles dogs.
Yeah.
So there's some.
There's
mention of them.
Muslims do not like dogs. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of dogs, but I don't know.
In their cities, like in Istanbul. There's packs of dogs that run in that city all the time.
Huh.
They're
must be Christian dogs.
Well, the purpose is to keep the vermin down.
Oh, the mice and whatever. That makes sense.
So they're kind of protected, you know.
So they look at them as a good thing.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, but I don't know of any place where it talks about dogs in the Bible in a way of being in heaven. Or cats.
The lion and the lamb.
We got the lion and the lamb.
Lion is a feline.
Yeah. Yeah, so there might be cats. That's where I have to be changed to be perfect, to be able to accept cats.
To like cats.
All right. 7, verse 11, we see Jesus here as a blank. What do we see Jesus as in verse 11?
A judge.
Judge.
His name is called the Word of God.
Yeah, but he is, we see him as a conqueror, as a judge, as a victor. It probably goes beyond verse 11. And we'll get to that in the next one, number 8. But we see Jesus coming. This is, you know, what's happening here is going to be shortly before his second coming in the last battle. But when he comes, he's going to come
as a warrior,
as a judge, as a savior. Not as a savior, but as a judge.
Judge.
You know, he's going to come back in a different way than... Today we live in a day of grace that we can see him and know him as our Savior. That's very important. So we go on to the 8th one. It says, Jesus is described by John as eyes. What do we see about his eyes? How is he described?
Blazing
fire. Yep, blazing fire. Kind of reminds you of the halftime entertainment of the Super Bowl. Was there some funny eyes out there?
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Were
eyes.
There?
Those were creepy eyes.
Okay.
I couldn't figure out who this guy is called The Weeknd until the Super Bowl. I go like, oh, so that's The Weeknd.
And they say he's from Canada.
I just go like, and of course my confirmation kids, they all know who The Weeknd is. And I go like, I just didn't know who he was until the Super Bowl halftime. They go, you really? Yeah. So they had a good laugh at me on that one. Okay, how about his head? What do we find out about his head? How does John describe Jesus' head?
Many diadems. What is a diadem?
A crown. Yep. There's a hymn by the name what?
With many crowns.
Crown him with many crowns. Yep, a diadem would be the same as a crown. Yeah. So he has many crowns on his head. How about his body? this is probably a stretch for me here.
Well, it's a name written.
Yep, a name written that no one knows but himself, which is interesting.
Yeah, I wonder what that would be.
That's his name, but nobody knows what it is except for him. Do you know your middle name? Or don't you tell people your middle name? You know it's your name. How about the robe?
Dipped in blood.
Yep, he's wearing a robe that's dipped in blood. So whose blood do you suppose that is? Or the blood. What does the blood represent on the robe?
His. His blood.
Yeah, it could be. The blood that he shed for us.
Probably dipped in the blood of the martyrs.
It could be blood of the martyrs. It could be judgment, the blood judging the earth. I mean, I really don't know.
Blood of the lamb.
I don't know.
But we know that it was dipped in blood. And then the word of God is number 5, the Logos. And we find that in John 1:1, the Logos, which is Greek for Jesus. That's a name given to him as well. He's the Logos. He was there in the beginning, and was the Word, and the Word was God, and with God. Mouth. What do we find in his mouth? Do not say.
Sharp sword.
Teeth.
Sharp sword.
Word. We're not your confirmation.
Or, yeah.
What is it? The word that's sharper than any two-edged sword?
Where do you find that? Yes. Where do you find that, Roz?
Well, I know it's the New Testament. Where is that? Is that
Hebrews 4:12?
Is it Hebrews?
I think it's Hebrews 4:12. Yeah. Let's talk about the word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Dividing something. It says that in Hebrews.
Yeah.
The soul and, well, let me find
the soul.
It. Hebrews 4:12. Yeah, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
What's that scripture?
Hebrews 4:12. Word of God. Okay, on his thigh, there was something written on his thigh. That says what?
King of kings, Lord of lords.
Yeah, and where do we find that? That he will be called, you know, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord of lords.
Philippians King. 2.
Philippians chapter 2 is where you'll find that. King of kings and Lord of lords. But every knee will bow and will express and say. So it's like, do you want to go down on your knees in reverence, or do you want your legs to be broken and to say it? King of kings and Lord of lords. Number 9, verses 17 through 18. Who gets to eat the great supper of God?
Well, yeah. Believers.
It says something about birds.
Birds.
Oh, the birds?
The birds. Yeah, if you're thinking of the wedding feast, then you think believers. Mm-hmm. But the great supper of God has to do with vultures and birds of prey. Mm-hmm. What's on the menu?
Small
generals,
great.
Mighty men,
generals,
horses,
kings,
riders,
captains.
So you got it's dead
horses,
people
and
horses. That's what they are going to feast on.
So the great supper is not the marriage supper.
Correct. Correct.
Oh. So yeah. Who's on the menu?
Dead what? People and horses.
So it's more of a supper of judgment. The great supper.
Yeah, it would be, actually it's the all those who were there at the Battle of Armageddon that rose to come against Jesus.
Boy, they're going to have to be a lot of birds because there'll be a lot of birds. A lot of dead people and horses there.
Yeah.
Have you seen that Geico commercial where this guy's sitting on this bench?
Yeah.
And this Focus Eagles come. I have to cover my eyes. It freaks me out. Because of this.
And those are just seagulls.
I know. But
funny. And yes, we're laughing at you.
Number 10. What happens to the beast and the false prophet? Verses 19 through 20. What happens to the beast and the false prophet?
The beast was captured.
Okay, so they are both
thrown alive into the lake.
Captured alive, they are thrown alive into the fiery lake of blank sulfur.
Burning
sulfur. So, I mean, it's, sulfur is the smell of what?
Oh, rotten eggs.
Yeah, rotten eggs.
So they were both thrown what?
They're both thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. That's the beast and the false prophet. The Satan himself is not
there yet.
So
is this the lake of fire then, or is that not the lake of fire?
This is the lake of fire. But this is the bridge. Chapter 19 is the bridge between Battle of Armageddon, the second coming of Christ, and then the millennium.
Okay.
Because we find in the millennium that the Satan is bound for 1,000 years, and then he's let loose. And the sad part is...
What's
the purpose? The sad part is here you have... You start all over with people who believe... And by 1,000 years later, when Satan is let out, he's out and he finds people who will follow him.
Again.
And then he's destroyed. Then he's also cast into the lake of fire and done away with for sure. And then there's the great white throne judgment after that.
Well, are there three pits? Are there three lakes of fire? Three...
We talk about the abyss.
Yeah, and then there's lake of fire, and then what's the other one?
There's Hades.
Hades
is more of a prison,
okay,
of the abode of the dead.
Okay.
And maybe that's where the Catholic Church gets purgatory. I really don't know.
The abode of the dead,
but there's suffering there, you know. And I know there's people today who, that's one of the things they do not want, a God who is loving and can still send people to a place of suffering. And yet you got to think of, remember, God is a just God. He is a holy God. And you got to do business with him. It's not what you want or what you think it should be like. It's what God says he wants or how it's going to be.
And because he is a loving God, if you don't want anything to do with him, why would he make you be in his presence,
right,
forever,
yeah,
if your choice is not to.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, yeah. So therefore, he's not a hateful God because he's not going to.
I mean, God is love.
Yeah.
There's no way you can get around that.
I mean, it's not that he won't pursue you.
Right.
Because he always will pursue,
right,
you to love him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's shown us that he loves us by sending his one and only son, died on the cross, and who did nothing wrong. But we are guilty for our sins. All right, number 11. What happens to the kings of the earth and their armies after they saw what happened to the answer above?
That's kind of a tough question. But they were killed with the sword.
Yeah. It's like they were able to see that the ones who led them into the battle, their leaders get captured and are thrown into a lake of fire.
So they realize their mistake.
And so
they all went, whoops.
Yeah. Okay.
I followed the wrong guy.
Yeah. Yeah, they followed the wrong person. And they were all killed by the rider on what?
White horse. No, the white horse.
The white horse. The rider on the white horse. And who's on the white horse?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. You know, it's because of rebellion. It's because of sin. Being just. Okay, that probably answers number 12. Who brings these armies to justice?
Jesus.
Jesus, and why?
They didn't believe.
Well, remember, they came together for what reason? Why did all these people come together?
Come against him.
Mm-hmm. Come against him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did not want to follow the rider on the white horse. They actually wanted to wipe him out. They wanted to kill him. So, if somebody says to you, get off your white horse.
Yeah. Oh, no chance.
What are they talking about?
Revelation.
Okay. We have finished this study.